three times. Yes.
Should I start over again or?
I start recording now.
It's going.
It's going?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Doug.
We're here for a rural development workshop on Rule 9060. We're on a 360Q of the Sadowski Building in Tallahassee. The workshop had to be moved from a different building, but there was a notice posted on the door. My name is Leslie Anderson Adams. I'm going to ask everybody to go around the room clockwise from me and introduce yourself. For the record, please speak clearly, and then we'll get started. Go ahead.
Ann Stanton, Florida Department of Community Affairs, Codes and Standards. I'm the primary support person for the BRRS program.
Mohamed Dhani, DCA.
Mary Alford, I'm a new associate with the AZS Consulting, I'm an environmental engineer.
Chelco Services, Crystal Scarborough.
Dennis Drawer, Calx Plus.
Cheryl Thompson, Gulf Power.
Tay Kuharsky, Florida Solar Energy Center Energy Gauge Office Program Coordinator for the HERG Rating System of Florida.
John Kiefer, E3 Building Sciences.
Demencio Barton, Essential Rating.
Brian Gilbert, Chattahoochee Electric Cooperative.
Doug Buck, Florida Home Builders Association.
Jack Lynn, Florida Home Builders.
Arlene Stewart, AZS Consultant.
Florida Scarpa, Postal Service Manager.
Tina Russian, Shelter, Chattahoochee Electric Cooperative.
Isla Jones, DCA.
Okay, great. I should add for the record that it is Friday, November the 30th at about 9:35 a.m.
And 2007.
2007. And we are here to accept public comments on the proposed amendments to Rule 9060. With that being said, is there anyone who would like to make comments on the rule? Please identify.
Yeah, my name is Doug Buck with the Florida Home Builders Association. We're actually here in support of a letter making some recommendation. Many changes to your language that was sent to you. I didn't see it distributed. I think you've received that letter.
Have we received it?
November 23rd. I don't believe I have.
Don't
but
have it?
We have it now.
You have it now.
Now.
You
okay.
Have it now, and I don't believe it. And if you want to, I mean, it's basically making some recommendations to change the language that is in 9B60 004 paren 2, and recommended is that, and maybe either Jack or Marlene or something wants to speak more directly to
it's,
what the recommendation
is. It's a recommendation
is.
From Architectural Energy to, instead of citing a specific type of energy software, to cite to continue to support ResNet's infrastructure and to allow any ResNet approved software to be used within Florida. So since we're becoming aligned more with the ResNet standard, let's continue to do so and rely on that organization for their other services. So if it's in a ResNet-approved software, it should be allowed.
Mm-hmm. Are they in the business of approving software? Mm-hmm. They do? And yeah. They have their own, too?
Yeah. And Philip Ferry's been instrumental in setting up that criteria. They accredit providers. They accredit software different kinds of software to be used. They credit educators. Are you guys approved educators for ResNet?
Dennis? I believe yeah. So.
No.
Yeah. No? No, I'm not.
Okay, never mind. But they approve educators. They have the infrastructure for all of this. And I do believe it's all consensus-based with published protocols.
Arlene, how do you react to the EPA's recent solicitation of other people than resident.
That's the one.
I actually didn't see that.
There's a letter from the EPA saying that they're not wanting to be so closely aligned with ResNet, and they're actively seeking other organizations that are willing to, in essence, provide services equivalent to ResNet.
They put out 2 to 3 different notices requesting that exact same thing. So right now, GBI is the one that will soon be coming on as being an alternative.
BPI.
Oh, BPI. Okay. They'll become those an alternative to ResNet.
I guess the question, I think if I could speak on behalf of the Florida Home Builders, I am a state director for them and partially serving in that capacity today, that it is a good idea to provide alternatives. You know, I personally think Tay has done a fabulous job with supporting the program, but I do believe if we're going to take off the way we want to see the state take off, that we need to have some other options. And the more access that builders have to people who supply these services, the better we will have competition, the more cost-effective things will be, and hopefully we can start getting past the 3% market penetration we currently have for this particular program. My question would be, to support that statement, is, you know, if we're going to adopt this, we need to make sure that we know what certification programs and protocols these other programs are certifying to, and they have to be acknowledged and within the same scope. So I think on the surface, it certainly seems the correct way to go. I would want to know a little bit more about the actual execution beyond. You know, we ResNet is a known entity. Let's find out a little bit more, but we'd certainly support the other possibilities. And we have different paths.
It's about choice.
Yeah, I want to echo, and I think to be consistent, our support of the letter that was provided to you is allowing for choice, greater choice. If there is even more choice beyond ResNet and other, you know, we want to have as open of a process so that we get as many people involved in this as possible and not lock us into one particular set of standards or anything that's overly proprietary.
May I make a comment here?
Yeah.
I think those are certainly worthwhile considerations. In Florida rulemaking, if you are going to adopt a particular software program into a rule, there's a particular way to do it. I think there's a potential for using other software programs, but they would have to be specified in the rule, which would mean a future rule amendment. Am I thinking along the right line?
This is the second time this request has been made, and I don't believe there was any feedback made to Architectural Energy about how to submit that. If there needed to be a review of the software or some such.
It's probably a Form 300, but...
We, no doubt we have, you know, I think we should look at it. We'll try to really look at the proposal and see how we can really consider it. If something just really came up, I was not aware of the request.
Yeah.
It just came up, and we'll take it into consideration. We'll see how we can proceed. We need to do some more research and see how we can do it. Yes.
It's interesting that statement was made that the feds are expanding beyond ResNet. What we're basically asking is to expand beyond Energy Gauge.
That's true, but
to include ResNet.
If ResNet does,
I mean, if the national arena, they're saying ResNet's not enough, you need to go further, then surely under a microscope they'd say Energy Gauge is surely not enough if it's the only one, and the state should be looking beyond just Energy Gauge.
I don't want to speak out of school because there are forces above and beyond me that have a lot more to do with this than I do. But with the Governor's Energy Initiative, there is perhaps a reason for consistency among the tools involved for being able to go beyond code. Now that's, like I say, this is way beyond my purview, and I hesitate to speak in this area. But I just wanted it on the record that there may be other reasons not described here in the room today for being more cohesive with it. Let me say one other thing. There is within Florida statute the direction to maintain consistency between the BRRRS program and the Florida Energy Code. So those are also considerations that we have to take into effect. Yeah, Jack, what were you going to say?
Well, the Governor's Energy Initiative, you know, there's a number of people working on green buildings right now as an example of climate change and green buildings. And you've got an energy commission, you've got a climate change work group appointed by the governor, you've got
there are others doing big things.
You've got a thing being done by the building commission. And basically all of them right now in their draft recommendations include expanding beyond, say, for instance, LEED to recognize other programs to provide for a mechanism of choice. So I don't think it's beyond out of reason, and I don't that this should be no different than that. If choice gives you better compliance and more participation than a single program, then obviously, if the end result is somewhat the same, then obviously we should be looking at choice, if for no other reason, to increase the participation in the program.
We're waiting for being acknowledged. We're waiting for Anne to finish.
Okay.
I would also note that at this particular time, the software between the Florida Energy Code and the BRRRS system is not aligned currently. I do not know if it will be aligned because the current beta version of the Florida software, it does not appear to have that BRRRS opportunity, and I don't know that what is currently cited in here is what we're using in terms of the rating software. I think it is eminently reasonable that any software that is available in the marketplace be requested to align with the Energy Code. You know, to me, that's a market force, and if you want to be more competitive, you adopt that. It's just a matter of figuring out how. But right now, we are not aligned.
They are linked. They are linked where they allow the data from the energy calculation to go into the VARES.
Yes, absolutely not.
But anyway, as I mentioned, it's really...
Can I get clarification on that? You say it is and you say it ain't. Can I get a clarification?
Yes, please. The beta version software is only a software. It's a beta version only to look at code compliance right now, but it is aligned with the rating software. It's not enabled right now in the beta version because rating software is not sold or allowed to be in anybody else's hands but a certified rater at this time.
So we're going to go back to having it in one software.
It is one software come the next code change.
Okay, so right now we're out of sync, but we're going to go back.
I wouldn't.
And the reason we're out of sync is because the IRS tax credits and the ability of the rater to provide that service to the builders at this point, the Florida software as it stands right now, the code compliance and rating software we had in the past, does not meet the IRS criteria. So the Energy Gauge USA software that does meet that criteria with the building simulation was used, and that's why we went that way, so that we were able to certify that software as an IRS compliant software.
And we also just recently adopted the calculation methodology to support that, correct, Tay?
We did that prior to that. We did that when the IRS allowed us to start doing tax credits.
But we've also adopted that in the code, and we had to wait for that to go into code, and we're waiting for that current adoption.
The tax credit portion has nothing to do with Florida code.
I'm talking about the calculation. We've gotten rid of the multipliers, and we've gone with the go-to back end.
That is in the beta version of the software, yes.
Okay. So we're in the process of getting back to where we were when we got out of sync. That's my point.
Yes, I think what the confusion is that the beta version that was released is the beta version that they're allowing for people to look at to make comments about only with regard to Florida code, not to rating. And so therefore, the rating portion is already done. All it has to do is be enabled. And there is, if you pull down the menu, it will say Florida Code Compliance, and it does say rating, okay? The rating part is probably grayed out in the beta version, but it is ready to be put out there. The only reason we can't put that out on the street is because people that aren't certified should not have that access.
There was a specific request of FSEC that those areas that are not applicable to the energy code be grayed out.
I guess my point was, I was trying to say, right now, for the last year and a half, we've been out of sync.
Yes.
But we've been working diligently to get back into sync between the Florida code, with the tax credit, with the national. So it's, even though we're out of sync, we're working to get back there.
Right.
I was trying to be supportive.
Okay.
Go ahead, please.
I'm a little behind on this.
Could you tell us your name first?
Dennis Story, Couch Plus.
Thanks.
Is the reason why we're wanting to have a software alternative because we want to get the, am I hearing, because we want to get the numbers up? We'll get more houses in the Energy Star program? What is the reason, besides choice, what is the reason here that we're wanting to use another software
Isn't
program?
Isn't that enough?
Just for the choice part of it?
I mean, it's
the reason why I bring this up right now. You know, we have green building, and I always ask, what shade of green are we today? There's so many different green building programs out there that nobody knows who's on first and which one is. You know, my house is green. You know, and what certification you wonder, and we all know that there's some green building programs that are just as loose as can be, and then there's other ones that are really tight and do a good job out there. My fear is, and the other thing too, what's driving the green industry is consumer education these days. My fear is when we start implementing different software programs that have totally different readouts, I mean the numbers are all the same, but the way you look at them and understand them is just a little bit different. And it's just another thing to confuse the issue to the public out there. So, you know, are we saying, I heard the term, get the numbers up. You know, does that have anything to do with the software change? Or adding another software, getting the numbers up? I heard that mentioned here.
I think I'm the one that said that.
Yeah.
It may have been a misquote.
Okay.
The idea actually, I mean, our concern is choice. Just as our involvement with the green building initiatives that are out there currently, is to allow choice. There's no doubt that if anybody wants to attribute anything to Florida's energy code as being a failure, it's the fact that there has not been a public awareness over the last 30 years developed to where the consumer understands what it means to have a rating on a house. I testified yesterday with a group on green building, and the bottom line was the builders will build whatever you want them to build. The consumer wants to buy. And until there is a public awareness of what building green is still going to be a stepchild just as energy efficiency is. The minute the consumer starts demanding it and understands it, then you will have involvement.
And you feel that multiple software programs will
I think any time you have choices, it opens up more markets.
Now, the other thing that I'd like to mention on the softwares that are out there today, both the two major ones, Remerate and USA, like I say, typically the readouts are the same, you know, But one thing that, that USA does, because it was mimicked after the, started out mimicked after the Florida Energy Code software, today it really starts to represent our climate, which is a totally different climate than the rest of these United States. You know, when you start looking at Florida as being a hot, humid climate, Louisiana, some parts of Texas and stuff, and USA has addressed those features where RenRate does not address them. As a matter of fact, RenRate does a better job of addressing cold climates, you know, which is very important. I mean, that's the reason why tax credits are so insulation heavy and everybody in the North gets the tax credits. And we don't get too many of them down here. But we address a little bit different situation here than and like I say, I'm afraid that, and I'm not against having that choice. ACA Manual J, there's three certified programs out there for ACA Manual J version 8 that's certified through ACA. And they work pretty well the same. But in this new field that we're in, ACA Manual J has been around since the 60s. And this new field that we're in, we're basically feeling our way through this thing. We're doing it every day. What we thought yesterday was great, we find out tomorrow that maybe it's not so good. And I'm just a little reluctant that, that we're going to mess up something that, that we have worked so hard for since the early 90s to put together something that addresses Florida, a hot, humid climate.
Mr. Barton has something.
Okay, Dementio with Central Rain. I definitely enjoy Energy Gauge. My company uses it, no doubt about it. We've used a couple of different things now as far as like looking at them to see how they work. I guess I'm kind of a unique animal in that I'm engineer slash a certified contractor with the state of Florida slash quite a few more things. So I'm kind of forced into looking at things from a multifaceted. I mean, I'm really forced into, it's just how I was put together. And the choice, I mean, I have at the bottom of my sheet, choice. It's like, even if you took us out of this arena, when in America's history, if you had one entity that had sole authority over everything, has it ever in the end worked out in the benefit of the people? I mean, just look. Quite frankly, look at America's history. I'm just saying, regardless of whether it's this or any other thing, at the end of the day, tell me whenever you had a monopoly established, when has it ever, at the end, produced that warm and cozy happiness that everybody is saying? Because it all depends upon, at the end of the day, for me, you know, the for Florida, we're bottlenecked. Everybody here knows it. Energy-wise, we're bottlenecked. We have so much energy that we have on the ground. I came out of the utility industry. Mm-hmm. I know it implicitly. You only have about 1,100 megawatts that can come across the Florida-Georgia border, and that's some controlled by about three different utilities, and those lines sag when they're trying to pull power during the winter and during the summer. It isn't fun. If what we're doing has achieved the results, though they're admirable and good, at the end of the day, if we could, just saying if we could actually have ways of bringing on more people, you're talking about the fewer power plants that are going on the ground. I mean, you're talking about what are the net benefits possible maintaining of the level of power on cost, if not some slowing down of the whole escalation of rates that are killing people? Because at the end of the day, green, I'm definitely a proponent of green, no doubt about it. But green uses the energy portion to pay for it. The energy portion can stand on its own two legs. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the energy portion, greenism doesn't have a dime. It just has a good feeling that you have for it. It's the right thing to do. It's a heartfelt. Everybody understands. Long term, you want people to be healthy. But it's energy that's paying for it. In this state, I mean, if we had things that literally were in place to help increase the amount of participation, you're talking about a serious bottom line effort in this state. I looked at it, I was just saying, you know, even if the state had Energy Star as its own, I mean, if every house in the state was Energy Star, I know that's a big pie in the sky, but if it was, what would that mean to our bottom line as a state on fuel consumption and everything else? But what happens is there's so many different pieces that, there's so many different things that come into play. And when you put, when you don't have choice, this one group may have what they do well, very well. But somebody else may have another facet that you don't have. That's part of the reason we're this group. This could have really easily been just one person or one group, and then it would have been over with, and everybody would agree to have been the shortest meeting in history. But it's what everybody brings to the table that makes it better. And that one program that you were talking about, Rimway, it has some strengths that Energy Gauge doesn't have. Though I like Energy Gauge, don't ever take it wrong, but we just started looking at both simply because they both have benefits over the other.
No, I'm not.
It just. That's my own little spiel, but.
I've been involved in Florida Energy Code since 1977, its early development. I was one that preached early on Florida had a unique climate. 30 years, I've changed my mind. Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, for the first 100 miles from the coast, have the identical climate we have. So we're not the only ones with a high humid climate.
Right.
They have the same problems with construction. They have the same problems with mold and mildew. They have building tightness, insulation. All of those things exist in other states. Again, I think through choice, you open the market up and bring in new and innovative ideas. I have nothing against people at FSEC. I think they do a wonderful job. I think they've done a wonderful job for 30 years. But I just, my personal feeling is, choice is what drives the market.
Are we only talking residential, or are we also talking commercial in this
role? It's commercial, too. I think there is no changes.
We're changing the program to Energy Gauge Summit.
The rule is all
there. The version is different on commercial. We're getting off of the old one.
Is only residential, though, isn't it?
Residential.
Yeah.
So how are we handling the commercial aspect?
Standalone.
Yeah, we have a program for that, which is standalone.
It is on page. Well, in this document, it's on page 8.
Yeah, which is the
Energy Gauge Summit Comrade 204.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I echo something, and I don't necessarily believe that this is probably that you have some statutory requirements, but I'm going to. Some more philosophy from our standpoint. This state has moved a long way over the last years with the Florida Building Code and meeting its guidelines. But the reason we did it, one of the reasons we did it is because Miami-Dade had thrown up barriers and nobody could get into Miami-Dade with product approval. We needed a state system. We've moved to our basis with the International Building Code because that helped the state move to a standard set of protocols construction, even though it's customized. We've done our best, although we have some remnants, and I apologize if I will offend anybody, the Accessibility Code, which Florida had one from the beginning, and it was better than anybody else's. But when the when we moved nationally, then we attempted, right, to bring that into consistency and sort of lose the Florida things, although we still have that. Sort of the last thing we're trying to get through here is, what are we doing with Energy Code? We have a Florida Energy Code. Where's the movement? And I mean, all of this discussion for us is a movement towards more national standards. Even though there will always be and should be specific Florida needs.
Sure.
But if there's not an clearly reasoned why you need have a specific Florida need to customize, then use national standards. Use as many choices as you can get. And that's a philosophical underpinning that's driven this
whole effort since Mo, the beginning, with the governor's building commission. So, I mean, you know, I mean, we look for that in the rules. So every time we see some rules that, like, narrow it down or hold you in for, I'm the least knowledgeable energy person here, although, it, you know, I have to dabble in it occasionally. Unless there are clear reasons why we have to limit this outside choice, either national or other groups coming in for it, then I think we make a mistake when we do that. So, I mean, I think that's something that you guys have heard this before in other forms.
I think, and you know, I just, as I mentioned, this is just a proposal you brought to us.
That's why we're here.
At this point. And we just, as you mentioned, there is a language in Florida statutes that calls for establishing the birds for the state, and which is we've done. Now, the question is, in order to really look at this issue, we need to look at our statutes, look at it from the legal standpoint. Look at it. I think all what we need at this point is an opportunity to look at this and see if it's viable or not. And that's really, at this point, it just, we need to really be able to study that, the comments. And we are not really here trying to defend what we've done, or what we've done. And as was, as I mentioned, was a mandated a long time ago. So
And okay, Dementia Barn again. One other aspect of the whole rating system, and I mean, most green programs are about 60%, 70% energy. You know, most of them are about somewhere up in there. That's about their energy portion. The trickiness of this, which starts to get interesting as you go forward, is just simply, okay, there's a lot of, I mean, straightforward, there's a lot of money on the table when you start talking green in the United States, and definitely in Florida, because next to California is Florida. So we're the battlefield for these entities that are out here that are trying to produce a green product that everybody does. I mean, and quite frankly speaking, I do, just, I guess most people know, I don't know, I do sit on the, for the NAHB's Green Builder Subcommittee. And right now, coming up in the next few months, they're going to be launching with GBI their whole green program for homes. Now,
GBI is Global?
Global Green Building Initiatives.
Is this a globe thing?
Yeah, this is Green Globes. This is Green Globes. This is Green Globes.
I hadn't made that connection.
Green Building Initiative is what GBI.
Right. Okay. Right. And so with the Green Building Initiative and all of this, I mean, you have
all the oldest.
Yeah, you have a lot coming out. And this thing has also gone through the ANSI process and will be finished up within the next, what, month? Next month will be done? Okay, so it's the only one that actually has finished the whole ANSI process. Nationally, it went out throughout the whole process. All parties were able to come in, be a part of the whole code production concept. Well, what starts to happen and gets interesting is, in a way, if you keep the state in the state that it is in, it's almost like saying, unless you use what we're saying you use, you're going to not be able to bring a product into the nation that's gained the national certification, a national acceptance. It gets interesting. It just gets very interesting because, I mean, all things considered, the energy portion is the big part. We will not recognize your, will that program get recognized, because 60-70% of it is going to be energy also. Will that be recognized? Right now you only have FGBC, you have LEED, and you have this Green Globes product that's going to be coming to the state.
You have something else.
Has a program.
I'm talking about the largest ones. I'm just talking about the largest program. I know there, but I'm just saying the largest ones that you have on the books right now are those. The two national largest ones are going to be your LEED and your your GBI. But when you look at, for Florida, the three ones that you're dealing with are FGBC, the Green Glows product, and you're looking at LEED. Well,
there's a lot of them, Demencia. There's another one called Florida Green Communities. There's a lot of green, different programs. They're smaller, and they're more contoured to the Florida people in some cases. In some cases across the country, you have a lot of green initiatives. That's.
But when you're looking at size, national acceptance, the momentum that's behind them, who, up until the time the GBI has just come on the scene, had the momentum that LEED has?
How does all this tie back into building energy rating system?
How this ties back in is just looking at it like this. Okay, if you're a program that uses, that wants to be recognized in every facet, we're talking about market potential here. If you want to be recognized for what you've done, this along the energy portion, I don't care whose program you're in, LEED, unless I'm wrong, if you're in LEED or you're in FGBC's program, you need to get a HERS rating.
No.
Well, you don't?
That's what we're finding out. You don't really have to have, when you say a HERS rating, are you saying that you have to have a certified HERS rating or just a HERS index number?
Who houses the LEED program here in the state? Or at least who houses it?
Who houses FSOC. The LEED?
LEED.
LEED is done by FSOC.
Okay, the ratings that go for the FGBC program, mm-hmm. Who certifies those ratings that goes to FGBC?
If there's a rating that goes to
who
FGBC.
Who certifies it?
FSAC. What I'm just saying to you, where I'm correcting you at, is that as a FGB certifier, I do not have to have a certified HERS rating to make that house green. As a matter of fact, I have two paths to take. If my HERS index isn't quite high enough, I don't even have to use that rating. I can take defaults.
You're talking about you can make up some points in a different area, right?
No, you just take your you take your default duct leakage, you take your default building leakage, and you run with it. We're talking default. That's the reason why I said that's a light green program. Because it doesn't
but
really
the point
address
is
energy.
That if you the point is that if you do a HERS rating, you gotta go to FSOC.
And what ends up happening is just simply, this is the part, because see, the part about it that makes it interesting to me is simply with the mayors having their meetings that they've had on, I had to get plugged into this thing. With the mayors having to get their meetings and saying that they're going to be a proponent of, in their local jurisdictions, green programs. And Florida is in no way, I mean, we have mayors that are definitely on top of that, our municipalities. With them looking for how to get this done, if you or this entity focuses in on one product or one group as being the source, everybody's going to fall in line with that. I mean, I've seen it in Tampa. I've seen it in, where else? I'm not sure about Sarasota, but I know in Tampa we just went through this whole process. And we're no man's island. We're all a part of one big group that's again trying to get something done. I'll let somebody else talk because I don't know if you've caught my.
I'm hearing you saying there's several options out there. There's several programs that we should be tying into, but I don't think that what we're doing here today is necessarily looking at that bigger set of programs. We are looking at a building energy rating that can fall into one of those larger programs by providing the energy part of it. Am I reading that right, Ted?
I need to say one thing. What I'm hearing here at this table is that you think it's FSEC that is the monopoly. We are the administrators of the program for the Department of Community Affairs. We are not the certifiers of raters. We just have a no-cost contract with Department of Community Affairs. We are not the monopoly. I just want to make that real clear because I think there's a little bit of a educational, because I make it real clear to people when they come to training that we don't certify people, that DCA does. This is DCA's program, this is not FSEC's program. And the LEED program is through LEED, not through DCA. That is a program that LEED invited FSEC to be the pilot, one of the pilot people. So, I mean, it's not that we were the monopoly to do this. We were invited to do this. And again, we are the administrators of the program. We are not the program.
That's interesting. I really want to go on record as, from a personal standpoint, that I don't think we would have gotten a good established base without the support that FSEC has provided in all of these systems. And based on what Tay is saying about being an agent of DCA, perhaps the request needs to be of DCA is as we change this language to talk about a program administrator that is qualified to perform training and support functions for the Florida Building Rating System, that perhaps that part of this is to consider appointing or issuing some RFPs for additional program administrators, so that FSEC's not continually being perceived as holding the monopoly, because I think that there definitely is that perception. I know, I feel that way at times. But as what you're saying, Tay, is that y'all have the contract, y'all are the designees. So maybe perhaps the real thing is to be asking DCA to consider additional ones.
We don't throw any money at FSEC. It is a self-supporting thing. If we have no RFP capability, if there's no money involved,
we get no funding from DCA at all.
Well, wait a minute. I understand that, but USGBC just put out an RFQ for LEED providers.
That has nothing to do with this program.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, USGBC is not providing support to other LEED home rating providers. They are choosing who they are blessing to administer their program.
Well, it's because part of it, I think, and I might be wrong, but the FGBC was, the concept of the FGBC was started up at the Buildings Research Department at FSEC.
No, and
that's
this
where
is
it started from.
USGBC.
I understand that, Arlene, but we have been very, very active with the green portion. But I don't know where that's, has nothing to do with this.
Can I answer that? You charge a fee, right? Mm-hmm. The RFP that you deliver, while there may not be any state money, there is an authorization to charge a fee that somebody pays. And therefore, is it not possible that there might be multiple administrators and have competition and see what that if that fee is appropriate? And I'm just speaking out of that. The fact that there's not state dollars per se, but when you issue the RFP, you do provide that they can charge a fee to recover whatever their cost might be.
A reasonable fee. We can't just raise fees across the board without some consultation.
I'm just saying is that this is not, you're not providing this service free. There is a fee.
We have other programs that we selected administrators based on an RFP as a request for proposal. And so this is something that's being brought to us, and we'll take it into consideration. And that's a comment. There's no need to really go back and forth on it, but this is something that we have a number of administrators who administer product approval. We have other programs that administer it through RFPs. So
in defense of FSEC, their fees are less than half of the competitors that are available elsewhere.
20 is related to 75 and up to run rate.
And I'll just say this here. When we first started out, I didn't know any of this stuff. I mean, I'm not talking about as far as energy goes. I'm talking about the politics of it. Learn them over time. LSEC, to me, has done a good job at what they do. There's no doubt about that. But that monopoly perception, in the end result, if this is done by the government, the client that everybody has at the end result is our customers, which are the people that are buying the houses, all the people that are making the votes and everything. It's, she's next, but the whole thing about it is just simply, I've gotten that flavor of monopoly is from big guys to small guys. It is not a light thing. And the whole thing about it is just simply it's having an effect. Even if you chose chose some way, I don't know exactly how right now, and I know that it has its own costs and stuff associated with it, but if there was a way to maybe not house everything within one location and separate out some components, what would end up happening is you'd be able to have a better perception of the integrity of everything, because if you start to look and then everything starts to be housed in one location, though it may not have been the intent, all roads lead to one place. And if all roads lead to one location, that location has the power. Whether it was a matter of original intent or not.
I just want to tell you something. With regard to the monopoly, with regard to the one entity, I think we got the message. Mm-hmm. Can we get more comments on the other issues?
I think the lady over here.
Yeah, is there a lady here? Yeah, if it's really kind of... Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's okay. I'm Jackie Watts. I'm from Tallahassee. The only thing, and you know, Doug brought up the issue of the building codes. And oh, was that you?
Oh, yeah,
I'm
no.
Sorry.
No.
You have really long legs. You know, he brought up the issue about codes, and I can tell you, coming from the field, and I, you know, I come from three different disciplines in construction in the field. And to be perfectly honest with you, there is no unified Florida building code. So, you know, let's just get that off the table.
Better than it was.
I'm not even sure about that, but, you know, the jurisdictions, you know, until you get the building officials bought in on this, you know, it's not going to happen. So, but my only concern is, and I really don't, you know, I read through this, and I'm not really sure that I understand the grasp of what we're doing here today, but if there were to be different providers other than FSAC for these programs, is there a formula for standardized information? Is the only thing that I would be concerned about, because, you know, I went to FSAC and I went through the Energy Rater program. It's a great program. I learned a whole heck of a lot in the program. And, you know, I just would want to make sure that, you know, when this gentleman over here spoke about different shades of green, that we don't then have different shades of energy because we have different standards at different locations. Because the program at FSAC is hard. It's very hard. And, you know, and I missed the national test by one question, and so I still got to go back and do the national test. But, you know, it's supposed to be so that when you have the people out in the field doing the work, then they understand and they know everything that they're supposed to be doing. So my only concern, because consumers get really confused if you have different shades of green, you know, our whole purpose within the state, if you're in state government, is to serve the public. And if we're not making it more simple for them, regardless of what builders say and of what anybody at this table says, if we're not making it easy for them to understand, then we're doing a disservice to the Florida public. And that was my comment.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. To support what you said, this kind of brings us full circle. If we're adopting resident standards, all we're asking is to truly adopt resident standards, because they have the protocol for looking at software programs to ensure that there is a... that all of these perform within the same margin of error. Same thing with the providers. Same thing with, you know, the educators and the training programs. This is all an extremely very well set up program, one that that FSEC has been integral in. And, you know, and one thing I have to say is I am vehemently opposed to splitting up tasks. If we've all sat here and said FSEC's done a great job, we don't reward them by taking away their what they've done. That's not the right thing to do. At the same time, if there is a monopoly perception, at the very least, I think that other entities who would like to provide services should at least be looked at by the state. If the state then decides that they have that it's not a good fit, well, then it's not a good fit. But at least look at additional ones. But let's not talk about taking out an organization that has really been at the heart of creating this whole program.
No, just in defense of what I was talking about, executive branch, judicial branch, legislative branch, that was the concept. If you had to do something in a certain nature, checks and balances, in other words. If everything resided, I mean, what did we have happening with Congress right now? They're saying we gave too much power to the president. I mean, you know, it's just checks and balances are good.
It helps. Rely on residents.
Yeah, and that whole thing about resident, the whole funny part to me about the software was this here, real simple. My whole thing about it is this. If we're relying on ResNet to say that FSEC is awesome and they have performed, and that the software which FSEC uses is approved through ResNet also, and that makes it a valid program, are we saying that the same entity that we're using to say that they're fine has done a bad job on everybody else? I don't think so. If they were able to certify one, they can certify everybody. Now, and those, there, it's just certain tenets and thought that we're looking at here also. You know, that because that whole software thing, are we saying that one person who built a software, even if it was for up north, if they have a new client base, they won't make adaptations to whatever standards are they need to meet, and then produce a product that could actually go into that market when construction-wise, these climates going around the Gulf are like, I'm not sure if they're still number one, but they used to be number one on as far as like how many houses were going up. I think it would be in the best interest to make sure that you enter into that market according to the rules they govern. So there are some things that even when I sat here, I heard that though I understood them, I didn't understand part of it because the same one group that said you're okay is the same one that said they're okay. And we can't just say that just because we have brains over here in our school system that they don't have brains over there doing what they do.
Okay. I think we've heard this issue, and we may have other issues in the room that need to be heard.
Right.
So let's get on with that.
Okay.
Does anyone else wish to make comments?
Yes. John Kiefer from E3 Building Sciences. I think we can all agree for the need for the uniformity of standards, whether we're talking about building codes or software or a variety of other issues. And when we look over the ResNet standards, we're quite comfortable with the majority of them. However, we strongly object to the inclusion of the sampling standard, which in the proposed rulemaking has, there's a reference in the rulemaking that would effectively eliminate sampling, and we're here today to support that position. Dennis and I together represent, we're probably the largest grading firms in the state of Florida, and collectively we have tested the majority of Energy Star homes that have been certified in the state of Florida. And while we're competitors, we're here today to speak in a single voice. We've tested about 3,000 homes in the last 15 months, and we have reason to believe that sampling would fail to capture a number of homes that would not meet the standard. And I've provided a letter here today, and I can read it into the record if you'd like, or you want to discuss it?
We have copies of it.
Okay.
If we just, we do, don't we?
Yeah.
I
have one left, so. To the best of our knowledge, Florida hasn't previously allowed sampling, and we believe it would be a serious mistake to allow it now. With due regard to my colleagues here in the room that are from the utility companies, if we look at the success or the failure of the Energy Star program in the state of Florida, we have to take a hard look at that. About 10% of all new construction in the U.S. was built to the EPA Energy Star standards, and that number was significantly less than 2% in the state of Florida last year. And in other high-growth markets like Clark County in Nevada, the Las Vegas area, Phoenix, California, Austin, Texas, those numbers are in excess of 50%. So why is it that Florida has one of the very lowest Energy Star penetrations in the country? I think we're ranked 48th or 49th in the state, behind South Dakota. And that's only because they only built 30 houses last year or something like that.
That may be all we build in Florida this year.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. In any event, we believe the reason for that, we speaking as private energy raters, is that the original mandate for the implementation of the Energy Star program was handled by the state to the utilities. And we believe that the utilities, while many of them try very hard, they're fundamentally in the business of selling power, and it's contrary to their interest, ultimately, to actively promote energy conservation. Now, having said that, I do believe that most of the utilities really do actively promote energy conservation. However, we're here today opposing the sampling methodology, and I can review why we feel that way and the kinds of testing we've done. Typically, the largest objection to sampling comes from the fact that it's inherently more expensive to test every unit than to sample. However, we have been very fortunate in that the largest builders in the state, Pulte, Centex, and Lennar, have all agreed and willingly pay for individual sampling, at least in Lee, Collier, Charlotte, Sarasota counties, and individual testing and individual rating. We currently have more than 10,000 homes under contract for individual ratings. And to allow sampling, we believe, would significantly devalue the Energy Star designation and devalue the value of a BRRRS or HRS score or index. If we go to California and look at Title 24, it took them about 5 years to get that under control. But once they did, it's just commonly accepted that every home built will be tested, and it's a cost that the builder endures. And if you look at the cost of testing compared to the benefit to the state and to the energy suppliers, you discover that that cost is almost insignificant. There's one session I'd like to read you here. Dennis and I are both active members of ResNet, and we have attended, and I personally attended, all the workshops on sampling and everything else. I come from an academic background. I have a PhD, taught at a university, and spent a fair amount of time looking over statistics. And I listened intently during the ResNet presentation, and I asked them very specifically if they had any kind of methodology to support the statistical sampling method they proposed. The idea being that, you know, if you say we're going to test 1 in 7, you have to come up with a confidence interval and things like that. And they all looked at each other and said, no. And I said, how many people in this room, and there were about 300 certified raters across the country in that room, are willing to sign off on a house that's sampled for a tax credit when you enjoy the liability for that tax credit? And only about 10 people in the room raised their hand. So I think the consensus of opinion was that, gee, I'm not willing to do sampling if the IRS is looking over my shoulder, but it's okay if we do it for the EPA because they need numbers to get their funding. So we have made, after studying the methodology and the protocols, we emphatically don't believe there's any kind of statistical foundation to support sampling. And after speaking to our colleagues, we are of the opinion that the ResNet sampling protocols are ill-defined, difficult to implement, and even more difficult to enforce. The implementation of a sampling program in Florida would saddle FSEC with additional responsibility of policing the sampling protocol, which we believe would be costly, time-intensive, and would do little to promote the widespread adoption of residential energy conservation programs. We're concerned that the limited and already strained resources of FSEC would be further saddled with the additional audit responsibilities and would compromise their ability to provide much-needed services to the energy rating community within the state of Florida. So on that note, I think that fairly well summarizes it, and I will leave the letter for the BCA to review.
Thank you.
Just one second. Has anyone else who has not yet spoken, do you wish to make comments? Go ahead.
Only to clarify one statement made. Billers don't bite the bullet. The consumer ends up paying the cost.
I don't disagree.
There is a standard misconception out there every time we talk about increased fees and construction costs, builders oppose them because it's out of their pocket. It's not.
No.
We don't do anything for nothing. It's passed on to the consumer.
It
would really be nice if we could get people to say the consumer pays for this because the builders aren't the bad guys.
I agree with you that.
But
100%.
The advantage Energy Star, of course, is that the builders, the buyer, gets a house that uses less energy and ultimately saves the money. And the payback period is very, very short, given the additional cost. I don't know what the average cost of a home in Florida is, but I imagine it's pushing $300,000. I think in Collier County, it's over $600,000. But whatever the number is somewhat irrelevant. But when you put it in the context that the average house costs about $240 for an energy test, I don't think that that's a significant number in the context of $200,000 or $300,000.
Okay. Are we hearing that everyone has made the comments that
I'll say on this one. On this one, I wish he was here. I had a long conversation with Sam Raskin on this one, US EPA. He would like to chime in on this area. I mean, right now, he is not physically here, so I'm just making a request that last year when this process went through, he was really wanting to chime in on this one. I mean, there is a plethora of data that supports sampling.
I would emphatically disagree with that. I know Sam well, and he privately told me he would oppose sampling. However, the EPA's official position is that they are going to allow sampling.
Regardless of private conversations, I'm just saying.
I'm saying that the EPA derives its money from one source, and the EPA program at Energy Star gets its money on strictly on the basis of how many houses they certify. And I can get a doghouse certified Energy Star, and EPA will put that on their list as one more house. And I can prove that to you.
Okay. Well, not that I'm trying to get into doghouses. All I'm saying is that simply this year, one of the major benefits that encourages builders and whoever else to establish their houses as energy efficient is that blue label. It gets onto the buildings just like it's onto the cars and refrigerators and pretty much anything else that can burn a watt that is possible to be made energy efficient. And all I'm saying is just simply that party, he was the one who had showed me and had his guys to explain it to me. Now, regardless of a conversation, I don't know about now that I'm just saying who had explained it to me.
I understand.
I'm just saying who explained it to me. So if
the
possible
EPA? I don't know.
Yeah,
did we notice EPA?
Pardon?
Did we notice EPA about this workshop?
He would have last I kid you not, last year when we went through that whole
but you said you told him.
I did not tell him on this one. I did not tell him on this one. And the whole thing about it was just simply one of their guys. I was recently at a meeting with them. I thought they were going to be here. That's one of the reasons I just thought, because it was a mass mail.
I laugh at what you say. We have future builder chapters around the state that is something like 4-H or future contest 2 years ago at our building conference, the Southeast Building Conference, a large trade show. One of the groups, they built dog houses to look like houses. One of them was Energy Star.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
But it's, and I think it was out of Collier County.
Yeah, but we can't really say who's what somebody else says who's not here.
That's but that was the only, my only point for this was just simply to say they would be good for them to be able to voice in on this, because it just would be a very good thing. It would be a very good thing to at least let them have a chance to give some information supporting the project, because I know last year when I sent in some information, I sent it in concerning what they had said, but as far as a revised one on this year's, I really had thought that that would have, they would have been here. I didn't think that I would have had to do that.
Well, notice was published of the meeting today. I don't know if it was specifically brought to the EPA's attention, but certainly they were welcome to submit comments if they wanted.
Let me address one thing that's much more Florida specific. Dennis and I have shared some data, and after testing more than 3,000 houses, we believe that less than 70% of those houses, or approximately 70% of those houses, would pass, which means 30% aren't passing based on our experience of testing those houses. Curiously, a research study done at FSEC also found that about 30% of the homes failed the duct tightness testing. So if you stop and you think about it for a moment, that if you only have to test 15% of the houses, and if we know that 30% of the houses in a given population will fail to meet minimum performance criteria, the odds are finding a defective house are about 5%, 30 times 15 is 5. Said differently, sampling has the potential to allow as much as 75% of the population that fails to meet the minimum performance criteria to pass. And that is a very simple statistical fact.
Did I see a hand down here?
Yeah.
You, okay.
Speaking on the sampling issue, and once again, I come from the field, ran ductwork myself. So, you know, I don't understand how anyone could be considering sampling when different people do different houses.
Different
people show to work sick that day and don't seal the ductwork exactly the way it should be. I mean, I've had a duct system that didn't pass, and that's pretty bad because, you know, I teach my guys the Florida Energy Code. So, you know, but it's like if you don't have the testing, then you can't have the idea that it's all done. So the idea of sampling is, to me, should be outrageous. You know, to tell a consumer that you're part of a pool of 700 houses that we tested, you know, however many percentages 70, of them, right. and determine that they meet the Energy Star, but we didn't test yours, and what if they have a big gaping hole up there? You know, then you're doing a disservice to that consumer, giving them an Energy Star home
that's not
Energy Star. So sampling should be way out of the question.
Can I ask a question of either one? When you were at the meeting with ResNet, what was their justification?
Their justification was that they felt that they had to provide a sampling protocol to the EPA because the EPA was concerned that they wouldn't get an adequate number of homes and their funding would be cut. That was told me by Daryl Washak, who's the head of the sampling unit. And if you read the EPA, the ResNet sampling protocols, they're outrageous. You can't make any sense out of them. One thing that I find is kind of interesting, they're so confusing. In the last paragraph, they go on to say, the ResNet sampling standards themselves are problematic with two apparently differing methodologies. There's a required procedure, and then there's a best practices procedure. Well, it's like, what's the point of having standards if you're not going to enforce them? So I just don't believe there's any kind of math behind, any kind of statistical math behind that, and I can sit here and do the statistics on the board and show you that they're not. Then I didn't bring that paper, but I've got one that I spent, you know, a fair number of hours on. So
Last thing I'll say, because she stole my thunder.
I'm sorry.
Good job doing it, too. Sampling works really well on assembly lines, on manufactured assembly lines. I mean, you know, we sample. Yeah, it works, you know. But when we're dealing with human beings out there putting in, you know, building a system that we call a house, and our labor turnover is what it usually is out there, because trust me, you know, we know what we pay the roofers, we know what we pay the duct installers and all these guys, and we cannot, you know, the crew that we had on that John just taught or you just taught, that's out there working today, they may not be the same crew that's out there next week. Exactly. They could be all new people.
The one that starts the job maybe not be the one that finishes it.
Correct.
Exactly.
Very
exactly.
True.
So I think at that point, we don't even need to say anymore about it.
Sampling is great when you have quality assurance and quality control. You only have that in a closed environment. Correct.
Who is the decision-making body on this role?
DCA.
Okay. It appears that no one else has any comments that they want to add. Then I think we are going to conclude the hearing. It is 10:45 a.m. Would you like to see one more hand?
We have a timeline for decision.
Timeline?
What do you mean decision?
Well,
this is, you know, you're taking in comments. When will this be? When will
the rule be published? The actual rule.
Does anybody remember that?
This is a workshop, so we normally when you start the hearing, when the
clock starts ticking, when you publish the rule.
The rule. We have not published.
That has
so we
90 days.
The notice of
subject
rule mailing, as opposed to rule development.
That's a good question.
Will the rule be published prior to the end of the year? Do you think?
By the end of the year, the end of the year is almost here. So. How do you think? I need
that
to.
That's nicer than 3 weeks.
So you're trying to establish timelines there. You know, we'll work on it diligently.
We have to get
something.
Off.
Yeah, you're raising issues that really need some research.
Yes.
And trying
and
to really.
They need solid ways to resolve some of those issues.
Yeah.
Other than just. Oh, this is
we're gonna kind of, you know, there's news. Some comments were new to us, and we'll work on them. Right. Well, thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
We stand adjourned at 10:47.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sounds good.